The Book Was Better.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Book Was Better podcast. I am Kaylee Clark.
I'm Taylor Collette.
And happy No More Percy Jackson month. I don't know.
Is that happy?
I don't know if that's happy, but we were doing Percy Jackson for such a long time that it's like, hey, we're finally doing something different. Like,
yeah. Happy end of February, beginning of March.
Yep.
We are a little behind with getting this episode up. Sorry, I have been sick. And my baby has also been sick, which has honestly been the harder part. So
that's the harder part on it. Like, yeah, that part, that sucks.
Yeah.
Having a sick baby does not make anything easy. So
no. So we've been surviving this week. So sorry, this episode's up a little bit later, but we are excited to get it out nonetheless. And then if you want to know what our March lineup is going to look like, we will have that posted on our socials as well. So you can see all of the books and movies we'll be covering in March. And that's on.
Yes, we're going to be bringing minisodes back into it.
Yes.
Since we're going back to movies and books, it's not as realistic to knock out full episodes every week. Like when we do a TV show. I mean, likely when we do a TV show again, we'll probably skip. I think that worked well. We'll ask. So if you have opinions on that too, go over to our socials. But I think that worked pretty well, that if we decide to do a TV show adaptation comparison again, we'll likely not do minisodes while we do that, because we go through the book quite a bit slower. Yeah. When comparing to TV episodes. And so it's not like we're trying to read a 500 page book in a week or something. Like,
yeah.
But I guess, yeah, we are curious to know now that we have fully released the entire Percy Jackson episode lineup there and the whole show comparison, what your opinions and thoughts were on how that went with it being our first TV show comparison. So please go give us your thoughts on that so that we can continue to adapt and adjust as we go forward, because we've had quite a few other requests and suggestions of books that have been turned into TV shows and not just movies. So
yeah, we definitely want to do more. So we're going to be trying to figure it out.
Yeah, not all of them as short and concise either as.
Yeah, Percy Jackson being only 8 episodes definitely helped us to be able to really break it down. So I guess that's something else to consider going forward, as some have like 20 something episodes. We can't dedicate too much.
Specifically of like The Mortal Instruments. That TV show, I've only seen the first season of, but I think there's 3 seasons that cover the first 3 books, if I'm not misremembering. And each season has like 25 episodes in it.
Oof, yeah. Like,
so yeah, I look at doing something like that and part of me goes, yeah, that would be really cool to really get into the nitty gritty and break down the comparisons there, especially because those books were books that I really enjoyed reading when I was in high school. But on the other hand, I'm like, that's a lot.
That's and that a long has the time.
Potential. That has the potential to take up a lot of episodes.
Like multiple months. Long,
yeah, pretty big chunk of time. So we are open to thoughts and feedback. So basically all that to say, please come tell us your thoughts.
Yes.
Basically. But okay, any other announcements or things?
Just double checking here. I don't think so. I think that is pretty much it.
Well, I'm excited for what we're going to be talking about today, because it's a favorite movie of mine, and it's actually a book I'd never read until now, and it is Stardust by Neil Gaiman or Gaiman. Looked up how to correctly pronounce his name? No. Do I ever? No. I'm not good at doing those things ahead of time. Was I kind of hoping that it would maybe tell me how to pronounce it, like in my basic Google search of finding like the book details? Yeah, I was, and it didn't tell it, and I didn't do Gaiman. Further investigating.
Rhymes with Cayman.
So I've been saying it right, I think. I think I've been saying Gaiman. Or have I been saying Gaiman? Maybe I've been using them both. Probably. But yeah, Stardust. So pretty fun. The book was released in 1997. It's only 256 pages.
Yeah, it was quite short.
Like it was, I read it in a day.
Yeah.
Took me a couple hours. Like pretty easy read. A little bit of a shocking read. We'll get into it. But yeah, so Stardust, I'll get into my spiel. Book came out in 1997 and the movie came out in 2007. So exactly almost 10 years later. I don't know what months actually either thing came out in, but the movie was directed by Matthew Vaughn. The screenplay was done by Matthew Vaughn and Jane Goldman, so duo there. And then casting director was Lucinda Sisson. Lucinda, chef's kiss, a job well done.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know if this movie could have been better casted. Like,
it had some big names.
It was so good, though. Okay, anyway, and then music was also phenomenal. Done by Elon Eshkari. Might be Ilan Eshkari. It's I-L-A-N, but I think it's probably Elon. Who knows? I could be wrong.
I don't know.
There's our little lineup. Definitely quite a few differences, but if I could give you the general consensus of the plot, right? For those of you who either haven't read the book, haven't seen the movie in a while, right? You want a recap, you get one, even if you don't want one. So Stardust follows, it's basically, I've always kind of viewed it a little bit as a coming of age story and a little bit of a romance story.
Mm-hmm.
Basically following the adventures of Tristan Thorne as he really kind of journeys from like boyhood to manhood in chasing and trying to retrieve this fallen star because he thinks he could use it to basically like propose to who he thinks is his true love, Victoria, in the city of Wall where he lives, which borders basically, it's essentially the border between the magical fey realm and regular old England, our world kind of realm. And he discovers that the fallen stars are apparently women. They look like human women. He was surprised that it wasn't just a lump of like rock. And it's essentially the adventure of what they, all the things they encounter as they journey back to Wall. They encounter witches and all sorts of different things, which is being the primary focus in the movie, at least. But you learn basically what true love is and unconditional love is. Tristan grows a lot from kind of, a little bit more of like a self-centered, ignorant, naive boy to a trained, knowledgeable, more empathetic man. It's a good story. It's got adventure. It's got fantasy. It's got romance. Can't go wrong, right?
Yeah.
It's a good one. And it has a happily ever after, so.
Yes.
There you go. There's my spiel. There's great the spiel. Rundown. Lots of similarities, don't get me wrong, but also quite a few differences.
It's not a long book by any means, so it was pretty easy to get the story into a movie without having to cut out too much, honestly. Like changes.
Main plot points are essentially the exact same.
Yeah, changes were made, but overall, like, it was more just changed rather than like a bunch of stuff removed. Mm-hmm. Which is, you know, a nice change from a lot of what we see, I think.
Well, and it was, we'll get into it, but it's the first time, not the first time.
One of the first times.
I mean, I'd say that in every movie adaptation, there are changes that I understand and then a lot of changes that I don't understand.
Yeah.
But I'd say that this is the first time for me that almost every change the movie made, I was like, yeah, I can see why they did that. You know? Like,
yeah. This is one of those rare occasions where I don't really need to have a conversation with the director or the screenwriter. Mm-mm. I'm like, all right.
Yeah, I'm for it. Like, you okay, did, that made sense. You did good. Like, okay, cool. Still a couple little things here and there, but we'll talk about it. Yeah. I don't remember who goes first because our last episode was that crazy Percy Jackson recap extravaganza. So,
yeah.
I don't know. I think it might have been me that went first.
I was about to say the opposite, so now I really don't know. Oh. I don't think it matters. Just let's just go with it.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Do you want me to just go first then this time? If you thought that it was my turn to go first anyway.
Sure, because my number one is a good one to end on, I think.
That's a good point. Yeah, good point. Okay. So my number three is really, I'm going to be honest, my two and one are technically anti-grievances. So my number three is my only true grievance when it comes to where the movie changed things from the book. And that is in the overall relationship and portrayal of that line between our world or the human world, the non-magical world, and the land of the fae or the land of fairy. I would say that a really big difference between the book and the movie is in the like underlying tone of the story. Yes, they follow like the main plot points pretty well, characters pretty spot right, like they're all in both. But the tone I would get from the book is more of like a tone of like Brothers Grimm fairy tales, right? It's, yeah, it was published and written in 1997. Like, it's not old timey, but I could definitely feel that that was what Gaiman was going for, that he was trying to evoke a lot of those feelings of classic fairy tales and like folklore. And with that, there was a lot more explanation of like the land of the fae and what kind of creatures and rules apply in this land of magic, right? And he threw in a lot of, I don't know if how many people are interested in like true fairies and like the folklore around them, but I'd say it's somewhat common knowledge, right? That they say like, don't give them your full name, like don't give them your true name. If you do, like that gives them a power over you, right? Like there's things there, like don't mess with the fairy circle. Don't mess with it. Just leave it alone. Like, no, I don't believe in fairies, but don't touch it. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, it's like those, it's like superstitions,
little bit of superstition. Yeah. And he wove that in a lot to this. And I really, that's a piece that I really enjoyed and kind of appreciated, was how these worlds interact and make sense of the differences in their laws and their rules, and how like it makes perfect sense, right? In the realm and the laws of the magical fae. And I mean, when we look at it, it's like, okay, why just once every 9 years, you know? Because in the book, the people in the town of Wall can cross over the wall, but it's one day every 9 years where there's this like festival market and people travel from all over the place to come and attend this festival with the fae folk. And it's encouraged to cross the wall on that one day and that one day only. And that's a pretty big difference, I'd say, that the movie, again, I understand why they made the change. It's a lot of extra explanation that would have been needed, a lot more casting that would have been needed, because in the book, it's every townsfolk takes a turn guarding the opening in the wall. And it's, there's rotating shifts.
Two of them mm-hmm. on every shift. And yeah, it's like there's a lot of characters that you meet that aren't important. It's just they happen to be guarding the wall at that point. There. So
mm-hmm. it's a change that makes sense. It totally makes sense. But it did give that fantastical feel in the book that was very reminiscent of just your classic traditional fairy tales and folklore that was missing a little bit from the movie. And that's not a bad thing necessarily. I do think that the movie was a lot more like gung-ho about like adventure and romance. And the book was a lot more fantastical and just fairy tale.
Well, like on some of the older covers, you see like the like advertising, like the tagline and stuff was like romance in the like time of fae, or like romance in the fairyland, or something like an adult romance in like fairies. Like essentially mm-hmm. Neil Gaiman was like trying to show that you can have like an adult like romance an adult fairy tale like together,
mm-hmm.
which I was like, okay. But you can tell the movie is aimed at a younger audience than the book was.
I don't know. The movie is still rated PG-13.
It is, but the movie is not as explicit as the book.
No, true. But even the quote unquote like explicit scenes in the book,
compared to
some of the things that are published today. I'm like,
when it was published, though, that was pretty
nothing.
Like, that was pretty out there.
Maybe. I don't know. But it is. It's an adult. It's a book targeted towards adults. It's not considered YA. It's not considered.
I would say the movie is one that you could watch with, you know.
I did watch it with my children.
Yeah. And
it's PG-13, but I watched it with my kids.
Because it's like really not that bad.
No, there's some kind of scary stuff, but I don't know. Yeah. They loved it. So
yeah,
there's like a couple like innuendos and like I get it. But yeah, nothing straight out explicit. So,
yeah. So I understand maybe because of them wanting to like do the movie to a wider audience. Also, maybe they didn't want to make a lot of little references to this fae stuff without like people being
really being able to explain it,
or like you either needed to go all in with it or like cut it out completely. And they just didn't have the time, mm-hmm. I think, to fully commit to it. So, yeah, I get it. But it is, you know, kind of a bummer.
But that's it. That's my number three. And it's my only true grievance. It doesn't bug me a whole lot, but it is something that was missing from the movie that I did enjoy in the book.
So. Yeah. Fair enough. Okay. So we briefly mentioned there's a lot of characters and there are a ton of names in the book. And sometimes I had a hard time keeping everyone straight because not only do they just introduce more characters, but even the part with his dad at the beginning, there's like a lot more going on with that story. And
it was really spot on at the same time.
Yeah, it's like it was a zoomed out, like a slightly zoomed out version in the book where you got to know a lot more of like the stuff going on around just his dad. Mm-hmm. And the movie kind of just zoned in to just his dad and what was going on with him. And,
yeah, you know, just meeting Dunstan Thorne.
And one of the characters that you meet at the beginning is this little hairy man.
He doesn't really explain what it is.
It's or what he is. He's just very hairy. That's what we know.
He's short and very hairy. Like a dwarf, maybe, or like a gnome of sorts.
Maybe a gnomish. Yeah, I don't know. But he stays in Dunstan's barn
During the first festival.
And
that gets brought up. Mm-hmm.
Then you meet him again later when Tristan is going through the woods in the Fae realm. Mm-hmm. And you learn that his name is Charmed, maybe. Tristan's not even fully sure if that's his name, but that's what they call him. And he helps Tristan, like, get through the woods. And he's the one that gives him the candle. What's the name of the candle? I'm blanking.
The Babylon candle.
Babylon candle. And the chain as well that he uses to trap Yvain. So rather than getting that stuff from his dad in the movie.
Or technically from his mom.
Yeah. It's like the connection.
Because it's left with it. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Instead, it is from this guy named Charmed.
It's like earned, essentially.
Yeah. And then it's like this cool connection because it's like he knew his dad and then he's helping him. And then he's part of this like fellowship that also like the pirate or it's not even like the ship captain,
the captain.
Is also part of. And they're all trying to get Tristan to because he's going to help.
But they want to protect the star.
Yeah. So it's from this whole extra layer that I'm like, I get why they cut this out of the movie.
But Charmed was a really fun character.
Charmed was really fun. Like, it's hard. It's not a full anti-grievance. It's not a full grievance. This is just, like, something that's, like, kind of hard for me to say one way or the other. Because I'm like, I get it. Because it was a lot. But he was fun and like kind of quirky and very magical, like this weird little hairy gnome, like
weird dude. Little fae folk guy.
Yeah. Like, and he kind of like helped Tristan learn the ropes of the fae realm.
The rules a little bit. Of the fae realm.
And so I think it would have been kind of fun as the audience to learn more about that magical realm through Tristan learning about it from Charmed. But again, I also understand time-wise, like, it would have been a big chunk of the movie. It would have probably taken up a good 5-10 minutes. Mm-hmm. So, but it was definitely one of the main differences, I would say. Especially in the beginning, that I noticed is I was like, I have no idea who this character is. Okay, yeah, cool. What's going on here? Like, that was my number three. They just took out Charmed and the whole fellowship thing, which I wasn't mad about because Neil Gaiman doesn't really delve that far into this whole fellowship thing. It's very vague.
Well, he doesn't delve. Again, it's only 250 pages, essentially. Yeah. He doesn't delve in that deeply really into anything.
Yeah.
Which is going to come up. I'm going to talk about that a little bit more. Yeah. So
because of that, again, I understand the movie's like, we couldn't even explain it because he doesn't really explain it. So we'll just cut the whole thing, which is fair. I would probably do the same. So, that's my number three. There you go.
All right. Well, going again, the rest of mine are basically anti-grievances. So my number two is the change with Captain Shakespeare.
Mm-hmm.
So I cannot even remember what the name of the captain is in the book. I'm now actually trying to find it because it doesn't really stick out. Doesn't stand out in my mind. But it's not Captain Shakespeare.
Captain Johannes Alberic. Or Alberic.
Captain Alberic in the book becomes on Captain Shakespeare in the movie.
Perdita.
Yes. It's not really a pirate ship or a pirate crew.
No, it's just a ship.
None of them have that much of a personality. Like, they don't dive into the... Yes, Tristan and Yvain spend quite a bit of time on this ship.
Well, and
they do help them on their journey back to Wall.
He describes it as, like, his favorite time there.
But that's all it does. Like, this is a huge difference that the movie and book do.
It's quite short.
So their journey back in the book is 6 months.
Yeah.
From the time Tristan leaves the wall, goes through the gap in the wall to when they finally return to the wall. It's at least 6 months, if not longer. Like, it's a pretty long timeline in the book. Again, not a very long book. So there's a lot of telling and not showing that happens.
There is.
To just kind of speed the story along and just cover these gaps in time.
My notes said it's a montage in writing.
Kind of, yeah. And so he does say in the book that, Tristan's favorite time on this journey that he looks back on with fondness is probably this time on this boat. But you just have to believe more details. So what I love is that the movie really took the opportunity to take this captain and this time on the boat and really flesh it out. And especially when it comes to the coming of age side of the story with Tristan, this is where he learned some much needed self-confidence, some sword skills, right? How to dance, how to converse, how to really just like step into himself. And yeah, you're not a boy anymore. You're a man. Like,
and he gets a sick makeover.
We love
a good makeover.
Listen, I love Charlie Cox. Okay. I love him. He's an amazing daredevil. But before he was ever daredevil, I loved him in this movie. I loved him in Stardust. So
I remember watching this movie, and when he got that makeover, I was like, dang.
It's like, oh, he can be attractive.
Because in the beginning, I was like, this is our main guy. This guy.
This is our protagonist.
They give him the longer hair and the coat, and he's so suave. And I was like, oh, okay, yeah, I'm on board.
With the big broadsword.
Yeah, I'm on board now.
Instead of just the little, rapier.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I digress. But basically, Captain Shakespeare having just this, the time on the boat is just so much more fun and fleshed out in the movie. And Captain Shakespeare's character specifically
is just so
much more fun. And yeah. De Niro does such a good job in that role.
So funny seeing him in that role.
Hilariously so.
So yeah. Different from his normal stuff.
And it's just great. And I love because again, it's not what it was in the book. It's a completely different name. So I love the direction that the writers took with, let's reference Shakespeare, William Shakespeare. But then they were all like, yeah, if you're not my crew, they just hear Shakespeare. It's funny. It's clever. And
the way his
just
crew
added another depth,
knew about him and supported him. I thought it was such a cute, ruthless message. And it was so fun.
Felt like it was a little bit of a nod also at Princess Bride.
Yeah.
Where it's like, I am not the Dread Pirate Roberts. Neither was the man before me and neither was the man before. Reputation is really all that matters when you're a pirate. And that vibe was kind of there, too, where it's like, hey, it's just my reputation. Don't tell anybody. People really respect me, respect my name. And I've never had to kill anybody. It's just kind of fun vibe, good vibe. I love that character. And I was, again, having seen the movie before I've read the book, getting to that part of the story in the book was a bit disappointing because it just kind of fell flat.
I was like,
in comparison,
that's it.
Yeah.
As soon as I was reading in the book and it was like, I'm Captain Johannes Albrecht, I was like, hold up.
Who the heck is
hold
that?
Up. Yeah. I will say also,
where's Robert De Niro?
The movie, because the descriptions in the book of the ship and everything, it doesn't really give much. I thought mm-hmm. that way they did the ship with like the like cool nets that like catch the lightning.
How it catches the lightning.
I thought it was so well done. I thought it was so like fantastical and exciting.
Yeah, definitely. Good design.
Yeah. Which is rare. I feel like a lot of times I am like, the book described it and then it didn't do it justice. Mm-hmm. So
no, that's something I'll say, and this is maybe an honorable mention that I'm just mentioning a little early, is I think when it came to capturing anything that was described in the book, the movie did phenomenally.
Yeah,
the way that that market where Dishwater Sal and Tristan's mom like sets up near Wall, like that little village town, and the stalls and the like, the way that's described in the book and the little details they include in the movie as like an homage to what's described in the book, like spot on with like the jar with the eyeballs and this person over here trying to sell this weird thing and the glass flowers and like spot on the even like the caravan thing itself, like the little yellow, like stone, like the stone wall or stone heart, stone henge. I'm getting a lot of things going through my brain now, but you know what I'm talking about. Stronghold. It came to me. We got there.
Yeah.
The way Stronghold is explained in the book and then the imagery in the movie, the where the witches are. Granted, in the book, it's like through a mirror you see all that. But still, like, the imagery was there with the big chandeliers and the black turrets and the black
and the fountain thing, like, and
the fountains and everything. Like, it's so well done in matching any imagery. Landing on the cloud and doing these and when the witch makes the inn and does all that, like, it's the imagery from the book perfectly translated to the movie. Like, it's, I feel like Neil Gaiman did a lot of telling in this book, but anytime he did take the time to try and show it, they took that and they were like, "Hey, we got to show that."
Yeah, they're like, "Great, it's already done." Boom,
there it is. Yeah, so that was something that was awesome.
Yeah. Okay, my number two. Is there were definitely some personality changes with the characters going from book to movie. A few that I want to touch on. First is Yvain. She was kind of whiny in the book, I'm going to be honest. I don't know. It was hard. Obviously,
she's whiny in the movie, too, but it's definitely toned down.
It's toned down. And I feel like she gets over it faster. I feel like in the book, she doesn't really get over it until like practically the end. And then it's just like a switch flips.
Yeah, it's weird. It's
and suddenly weird. She's like, okay, I guess I'm okay with this now. It's like, okay. Mm-hmm. Like, I know, obviously, it's really hard because she, you know, fell. And yeah, it's a lot going on.
And her injury in the book is worse than in the movie. It's like she sprains her. Yeah. It's sprained. Oh, in the book, her leg is straight broken.
Okay? It's broken, like, and like, she has to like wear a splint the whole time, and like, it doesn't Tristan's get healed trying to until get later. This
poor woman to walk and travel, and it's like a month long
journey. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I get it. You have reasons to be bummed out. I do, but like at some point, it just kind of like gets a little grating. Because I feel like she's not
just whiny in the book. She's also just way more closed off, too. Like, there's getting to know her.
She doesn't give much. And then she never, like, really, I feel like she never takes initiative. Like, I feel like movie Yvain is, like, a little bit more strong-willed and, like, has opinions and, like, I guess in the book she talks about, she's like, I'm going to do everything to make your life hard. And I'm like, okay, like, I guess
she's still got a little bit of that firecracker personality there.
Never comes through in the rest of it. I felt like, I don't know. I didn't love book Yvain.
Yeah. No, I'm with you.
I just felt like there wasn't a lot of like book female Tristan power. Yeah, the characters are honestly across the board were a little flat.
Well, his focus, again, I really don't feel like the focus of the book was, it wasn't a character propelled or like a character driven plot. It was, this is what the plot is. These are just the characters that happen to be there. Was
it almost like, felt,
it's a fairy tale. Who cares about who they are?
It almost felt like it was too complicated for how short of a book it was. And because of that, you didn't get any depth into anything. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like if you wanted to keep it that short, then take some stuff out, simplify the story itself. But instead, mm-hmm. it's just like almost a rough draft that like never got flushed out fully.
And then the movie finished flushing it out.
A little bit. Well, because the movie simplified. The movie took a lot of the stuff out.
Mm-hmm.
So Yvain was a big one. Tristan also was, yeah, just kind of like, he does still have the kind of the arc of like going from, like, but it's not the same.
It falls very flat.
Like, especially with him like going to Victoria at the end. In the book, Victoria still has to like turn him down a little bit. It's like not like he goes in confident.
It's weird. And there's no true like lesson. Like what lesson did you learn? What made you learn it?
Yeah.
What was the development?
So I didn't.
Where's the conflict? Where's the climax of this story?
Ugh. We'll get into that one. So I definitely didn't love him either. Mm-hmm. But the person that I think bugged me the most in the book was his mom, because I really liked his mom in the movie. I thought that she was a really cool mm-hmm. character. I thought that she like, you know, she acted the way that I, you know, expected.
Like a mother should act.
Yeah. And she's like got a strong personality. She like, you know, kind of protects Yvain and is like motherly in that way. And then she like helps him at the castle when they're fighting the witches. Like she's got some personality and some chutzpah.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the book, she's there. She's a bird 90% of the time. She's a bird way more in the book. And then when she's finally not a bird, when she finally gets free, she's like the stereotypical princess kind of thing. Where she's like, oh, I can't wait to get back to the castle. We got to take a palanquin back because we need to make an entrance and we're going to do all this and like blah, blah, blah. I was like, which is interesting because they say that she was stolen by the witch when she was a baby. So, like, how would she even know what life as a princess is like?
Was she stolen by the witch when she was a baby? That's what they said. I thought she was led away in childhood.
They said as a baby.
She was a kid. She said, I'm pretty sure, the way I read it, remember it is that it was in childhood.
Okay,
maybe. Like, she was lured away to cross, like, the borders and then was snatched up kind of thing. So she had to have at least been big enough or old enough to, like, move on her own.
You sure that's not in the movie?
To walk. Yes, I'm sure that's not in the movie. I'm speaking very clearly of the book. Yeah.
I thought the book said when she was a baby.
All the movie says is she says like to Dunstan very, very quickly when he sees the chain, she just goes like, I'm a princess tricked to be a witch's slave.
Oh, okay.
Will you free me? And like, that's basically it in the movie. Okay. So.
Okay. I don't know. I could be remembering wrong.
But your point stands regardless. But still, your point stands regardless.
She's kind of annoying.
And she's not.
And she has no motherly affection for Tristan.
Yeah, it's.
She's just like, hey, I'm your mom. And there's no sweet reunion. There's no nothing. It's not, oh my goodness, well, my son. Like, oh my goodness, my mom. I didn't even know about you. Blah, blah, blah. Like,
but
nothing.
There's also nothing between her and his dad. So it's not even like it's like in the book he has there is a woman who he believes to be his mother.
Yeah.
That his dad is married to, and he has a sister.
He has a sister.
Sister, but yeah. Still a sister. And like this whole different, like it's very different. Whereas in the movie, they're like, no, his dad is his dad. And then when his mom is freed, like they get back together. Like they might have not known each other long, but they were in love.
It's very sweet and cute. And But I feel like when he's like, oh my goodness, my mom, like you're my mom. And like there should be something, or like her. I feel like she just had him to fulfill some kind of prophecy to break this spell that she was under. Like he was just being used. There was no motherly affection.
There's a lot of that in the book where it felt like things, don't get me wrong, like when you do look at it, if you were looking at like a storyboard and looking at like, well, these things happen to foreshadow these things happen. Like it is very clever. It is a lot of different pieces that are intertwining together to create this, like very clever. But in the book, when you find out about those things, it's almost just like too convenient and too clean. Where it's like, oh, and then this happens. So then still no real conflict. And then this is going to happen. So still no actual conflict. Like no climax to this story. And then it's just, oh, nope. Everything just works out.
Yeah.
And it's done.
And then also because of like the differences with the mom, there's also some differences with the dad. Because like in the book, it's clear that he like kind of got charmed by the magic.
Yeah, no, it was essentially non-consensual. It's a bit shady. It's sketchy.
And like, obviously it's again, a little more explicit in like, it doesn't fade to black about their time, his parents, you know, night together.
Well, but he also wasn't breaking any rules by being over in the wall, across the wall, because it was during the one festival, one day every 9 years.
And so it's like, yeah, that whole thing was kind of weird. And then his dad, I loved his relationship with his dad in the movie. It was really sweet, felt very genuine. And I just didn't really get that as much in the book. And then the fact that he goes off to the Feyland and his dad doesn't even tell him the truth yet in the book. He doesn't learn about his real heritage and stuff until he's back from the trip, which is way different. And I feel like that also greatly changes the dynamics of the characters and their interactions and their personalities and all that. It all just kind of layers on top of each other. So again, it's very details. It's a lot of details that are changed.
Yeah.
Like main points, same. Details tweaked.
Not so much.
Yeah. So, okay, I'll stop because I could just keep ranting about the little things. So.
Well, but it feeds into basically a lot of what I think we have when it comes to like honorable mentions, where it is just a lot of those little things. Again, for the most part, it is a fairly accurate and faithful adaptation when it comes to those main plot points. Like some of the scenes were literally taken almost word for word straight out of the book.
Yeah.
Like really awesome. Until about like halfway. It's about halfway through the book where I was like, where is this going?
I would say it's because when they get onto the ship, things took a big turn and it just kept kind of diverging from there.
But in feel, like again, they still return to Wall and Evane gets stopped from going over, but it's just, and like, oh, the witch can't see her. And he gets turned into the mouse, but there's no like cute, fun, like discourse, you know, with Evane thinking that he can't understand, right? Like there's, that doesn't happen in the book. It's a lot more, and this happened, and then they get there, and then they're there. And then oh, the witch has been waiting. Oh, she's just so old. And open she's this and so open old. This. So, yeah. And, but it's like the witch and her sisters did exist in the book and the movie. Movie just really elaborates and I think fleshes it out better. Lots of great ideas and concepts in this book, but it is just very kind of overarching, kind of surface level introduction it's almost exploration like, of those ideas.
Like a fairy tale that would be passed down word of mouth. Mm-hmm. Where, yeah, like a lot of the, you don't get super into it. Yeah, you don't get super into it because you got to remember it. So it's just main points that you're kind of getting from point A to point B to point C to point D.
It is a fun story. Mm-hmm. And I love the actors that they chose to do in the movie.
Casting was great. Costumes were great. Mm-hmm. Sets were great.
I appreciate the humor that was added to it a little bit more.
The ghosts in the movie as well are definitely put in more as a comedic value. They're there in the book, which I wasn't sure but if they would be.
They're there in the book. Again, that's another thing that's like word for word separate. Like, yep, and they're in the ghost form and they're trapped kind of there in ghost form until a new king is crowned, right? Like it's...
But they're definitely there in the book. Funnier in the movie. Mm-hmm. They make more jokes.
Especially because in the movie, they make them frozen in the way they died.
In the state they died, yeah.
Yeah, so yeah. It's good stuff. It's funny.
I thought it was interesting how in the book it's a topaz and it's like the chain is broken and the chain mends itself. Versus in the movie, it's a ruby that the color went out of and then the color goes back in. Mm-hmm.
Like whoever that was restores the ruby.
An interesting, like, tiny change that I was like, oh, okay. Like,
tiny?
Why?
And, yeah, I don't know. Well, I think, to me, it made a little bit of sense because I thought it was weird. In the book, she, like, wears it like a belt.
Yeah, it's around her waist. I was like, how big is this stone? And I'm like,
no, just make it a necklace. That's so much easier.
Yeah. Like, I was like, is it a giant honking stone so she can't wear it as a necklace? It's got to go on her waist.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like a belt buckle kind of size stone. Yeah, I don't know. So
the one other thing I'll mention is the unicorn is dealt like the whole unicorn thing is a little bit different in the book. Like it's. Again, with the fairy tales, they mention a lot more like classic fairy tales and nursery rhymes and stuff. And there's like the one of the unicorn and the lion that fight over the crown. And so there's that. Mm-hmm. And so they get the unicorn because they save it from the lion. And then it travels with them for longer and doesn't like cut the chain and like and save a vein or anything like that, like in the movie. And then also gets brutally murdered. Like,
and like mutilated and like beheaded. And yeah, it's a lot.
It was a lot. I was like, I understand why they changed that. Oh,
very, very Brothers Grimm fairy tale kind of vibes.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it was kind of a lot. So,
yeah. So okay. that was definitely a difference. That I was like, ooh, okay, this is intense, very gory. Mm-hmm. I think that is all of the honorable mentions.
The rest of the things that I feel like will get covered in our number ones. So
I think so. I think I had one other one that I wanted to mention. But no, I think they will. Yep. Okay. I think we're good.
All right. So my number one biggest anti-grievance, I guess I would say, or grievance with the book, is the relationship between Tristan and Yvain. I love me a slow burn. Love me a slow burn. If you had to ask me what my favorite like romance tropes were, I would go enemies to lovers and a slow burn. Like, give me a slow burn all day and I am happy about it. And And it's a little bit of both in this case. There's a little bit of enemies to lovers there too, because yeah, Evane is not happy and does not like Tristan in the beginning. But you get so much more of their character depth and inner motivations in the movie. Like, it's just so weird to me. Like, normally the book dives way more and gives you a lot more character development and like seeing the inner thoughts and motivations of characters. And that is just not the case with this one. That it's bizarre. It's a first. Again, this is a lot of firsts for me. Yes. But the movie does so much better at developing their individual characters that it then you can see the development of their relationship also, where it makes more sense. And you can see throughout the journey where Tristan's learning, like, Victoria doesn't love me, and I probably don't actually love Victoria, because yeah, like, love shouldn't have conditions, and love should include, you know, these different pieces. And again, it's coming of age. He's learning more about himself. He's becoming a man. And also in doing that, learning what like an adult relationship is. And it's, you know, like the difference of lust versus love and all these different things. And
well, like, and even on the ship, you know, like we kind of talked about that already, but like you can see the relationship building and like you can see the chemistry growing and
getting her glow back. Glowing and it going away and just I thought that was great. I loved the tension building up there with between them and before like she finally admits and he's like, yeah, I heard you when I was a mouse. I wasn't gonna give you a sign. Why would I do that? It would make you stop saying such wonderful things. Like
and the chemistry between the two of them is so good. Between
Claire Danes and Charlie Cox was amazing. It was phenomenal. Good. It was so good. It was so good. And I am a hopeless romantic. I love a fantasy. I love an adventure. I love a sci-fi. I love a post-apocalyptic. Give me any setting, throw some romance in there. I'm there for it. I love it. Like, give it to me. It doesn't need to be the main like plot point.
No, but
it can be a secondary thing.
A little side dish never hurt.
It makes me happy. I love the little tingles and it makes me giggly and makes my heart happy. Okay. Book Evane and Tristan got nothing. Gave me nothing. They gave me nothing.
They gave nothing. Suddenly they're just like, I love you. And I'm like, Do you? You hated him.
It comes out of
for so long.
Until literally like two sentences ago. Like, yeah, it's weird. We'll talk more about it in your number one, too, about like just how so much of their relationship, I don't know. I love that in the movie they fall in love and they truly live happily ever after. And the bit with, a star can't return to no man can live forever except for those like who have like possession of the heart of a star.
And she gave him her heart. So cute. You know, like,
and there's a little bit of that in the book, but it's different. And it's like why the witches can't win. Because in the book, it's like, oh, well, my heart's not mine anymore. And she's like, oh, that's why I can't sense it anymore. Shucks.
Darn, drat. I give up.
And it's like, oh, well, I wasn't fast enough. You already gave it away. Like, it's so anticlimactic. It's just weird. Yeah. And I mean, like, the sentiment was still there, though, which I liked. Like, yeah, the whole sentiment of, like, I've given my star, like, my heart to him. Like, yeah, he has my heart now kind of thing. But I love that, yeah, in the movie, they, like, live literally forever with each other because she brings him with her back to the sky, and they rule for forever, and they watch as their children and grandchildren grow, and it's just like truly just like the happy ending, like perfect. They love each other and they live their best
life. It's what you want for all of your ships. It's what you want for all relationships. It's cute. It's perfect. I love it.
Exactly.
No notes.
So, no notes. So yeah, this movie's always been very near and dear to me. Like ever since I saw it, I think it was only like a couple years after it came out that I didn't see it in theaters, but when I did finally see it, I was like, oh yeah, this is right up my alley. It's got adventure. It's got witches. It's got magic. It's got romance. We're there. Oh, like pirates. Heck yeah.
It was so good.
So I've always loved it. I watch this movie all the time. Like, it's a comfort flick. Like, I watch it multiple times a year. And the book really left me wanting when it came to the romance piece.
Which is so funny because it's, again, advertised as a romance, an adult romance in a fairy tale. And I'm like, is it? Where's the romance?
Is it, though? Yeah. But yeah, so I'll leave it with that. We'll get into yours, which will inevitably kind of cover some more stuff.
Yes, of this mine will too. Wrap so up all of
we'll
it
wrap
because
up nicely.
My number one is the entire ending is so different, and this so is a different. Big anti-grievance because I do not like the book ending. It's anticlimactic and kind of boring. If I'm being honest, sorry.
Not even just boring, but also just kind of sad.
Yeah. So let me break it down. If you haven't read the book and you're never planning on it, which is, you know.
Let us spoil it for you.
Yeah, here you go. So a lot of it's very similar. You know, they fall in love. Okay. They don't kill the witch. She just gives up. Mm-hmm. And then they want to travel, which I'm like, okay, yeah, you know, he did want to see the world. So they travel for a while, go make sure that the kingdom's running well under his mom, go travel some more, come back, can't have kids because she's a star. And so they don't have any kids. They rule for a bit. He dies. And then she rules forever by herself. The end. Like, what? I was like reading and I was like, this, what? Okay. That's
again,
it.
Again, I think it's a classic fairy tale. If you look at classic fairy tales, their idea of like a happy ending or a resolved ending, not necessarily in line with what we do these days.
Yeah.
Right? Where, I don't know. That's, again, then that's kind of a little bit of my justification for it because I really like Neil Gaiman, like as an author.
Oh,
I think
I've
he
heard
is a good author.
Good things about it. All of his other stuff. But
well, we've read Coraline is amazing.
Is weird though.
Coraline is creepy and weird, but it's a very good book.
Yeah.
And again, the concept and idea behind this story that did come from his brain. Awesome. But it's almost like it was better for, it would have been better. It's just like a screenplay and doing it as a movie from the beginning almost.
Yeah. So obviously they add in, so Septimus, the last brother, his death is different. Mm-hmm. In the book.
Oh yeah. All of the brothers die. Like they all die fairly quickly and in the book. And then it's just, they disappear. They're not even there to see that Tristan takes over.
No. He gets bit by a poisonous snake that the witch sends and it kills him. Mm-hmm. And then he's dead. So he's not even a part. He wouldn't be a part of a final battle if there was a final battle. There's not.
Mm-hmm.
So rather than him dying in the castle, in the battle, he gets bit by a snake. And then, the ghosts are just gone. Madame Smeal, the Dishwater Sal.
Mm-hmm.
She never dies in the book. She just
well, but they changed
is there.
How Una gets freed because that was another thing that in the book was so confusing.
It was like when the moon loses her child.
Her child, yeah. But it was again, it's very OG fairy tale, fey laws, fey rules. Like I, but yeah, way more confusing, way more simplified in the movie of just, yeah, when she dies, I'll be free.
Yeah. So she, and then obviously, yeah, the big final battle where Tristan like shows his stuff. And
but I love it so much where it's like they show that like his hand is shaking, like he is afraid.
Yeah,
he is afraid, but he's not backing down, like he's still gonna try. And it's just, I love Tristan Thorne in the movie. Tristan Thorne in the book, not the same guy. Care.
Yeah. And so they take out the big battle, so there's no big climactic ending. Mm-mm. And then they, like, the stuff around the wall is still kind of similar, except in the book.
Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's there, but
in the book, Yvain knows if she crosses the wall, she'll become a thing of stone. And she's just like, I don't care. I'm just going to go. I'm like, chica. Whoa.
Yeah, it's weird.
And then when Tristan goes to Victoria, it's not like he comes and he's like, go, I'm done with you, like, here you go. Like, I've moved on.
The way that happens in the movie is so satisfying. And the way it happens in the book is so not satisfying.
In the book, he goes and she's like, look, I know I promised I would. So I, even though I'm in love with this other guy, I'm going to, like, I'm willing to still marry you. And he's like, no, I guess not. Like, go marry that old man.
Yeah, no, I'm not mad about switching it for like a more age appropriate relationship in the movie.
Or the fact that then
also,
like,
it was Henry Cavill. So.
Yeah. Also, Yvain being like, did you know that she's pregnant? And you're like, why does that matter? What?
But also that makes it even creepier. She's 17.
And he's like 45.
And Mr. Monday is 45. Yeah.
I don't like it. And then, yeah, then there's no big climactic moment. I kept waiting for it.
It's kind of boring, yeah.
And it's
just, that's what I'm saying, it's just kind of, the build in the beginning of the book is fun and good. Like, I really was enjoying it.
I was like getting through it.
And then it just like plateaued.
I was just waiting. I was waiting for something. Nothing. And then he died. I was like, okay, sad.
Yeah. Nope. It was weird. It's weird.
Yeah. It's weird. So that's my number one. And it's big anti-grievance because I think the end of the movie was fun and way satisfying better. And what I wanted. So there you go. If you haven't read the book, it's, I don't think you're missing out on much. Hot take, I don't know.
But it is a quick read. I don't know. I'm glad I read it. I don't think I'll read it again, but I'm glad I read it.
I am glad I read it once. So now I know that I can just watch the movie.
But we have some fan faux pas to share.
Yes.
I only have the Instagram ones up. I'm going to let you take the Facebook one because you have that one up, I imagine.
Yep.
So this first one is by Anna Vandernall. And she says, this is one of the few movies I like better than the book. I can watch the movie over and over again. Such a comfort watch.
It's so good.
That's so true.
Then on Facebook, we have one from Julie. She said, I'm surprised to say that I actually enjoyed the movie more than the book. The book felt a little more tongue-in-cheek and the movie more like an adventure. The movie obviously still had some amazingly funny parts, but it still felt like a cohesive adventure. I was disappointed with the ending of the book as I loved the end of the movie so much. It has a great cast and I'm totally on board with the changes they made to utilize that cast. Oh, Michelle Pfeiffer's performance in that final battle.
Yeah.
Oh, like her bait and switch where she's like, go, my sisters are dead. And then she's like, just kidding. I'm going to murder you.
She's like,
so good.
Just kidding. I now don't have to share. Thanks for killing my sisters.
Yeah. She's like, gotcha. So good.
Yeah, no, that was, well, yeah, Robert De Niro, Michelle Pfeiffer, Charlie Cox, yeah. Claire yeah. Danes.
So good.
Just, there's probably more. Oh, yeah, even Mr. Little Monkey Guy, like the shopkeeper.
Yeah.
Who, like, they sell the lightning to, and, like,
he... Uh-huh. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Gets, yeah, yeah, like... Or his name is leaving me right now, but he's a very well-known actor, comedian, writer.
He's in The Office. He's in the English The Office. Yeah,
he's the original creator of The Office. That is who that is.
He Ricky Gervais.
The OG.
Ricky Gervais.
Ricky Gervais, yep.
And young, his dad when he's young.
Yeah.
Was it?
Yeah, Benjamin. Yeah, Ben.
Good old Ben Barnes. I saw him and I was like, mm-hmm. Oh. I know who you are.
It's like, yes, I would also fall for a young Dunstan Thorne. Thank
yeah.
you.
Heck yeah. Though I thought they did well casting him older. I was like, oh, okay, yeah.
Oh,
He looks like he could be the same guy.
Very good job.
Yeah.
Our last one here, at least I think it's our last one, right? We didn't find any other ones.
I don't think so. Okay.
So this is from Mikkel Lyon Jones on Instagram. She says, I also liked the movie better than the book. I appreciate that the movie cut the sex scenes out. They felt very unnecessary. I know Neil Gaiman's whole thing was to make a fairy tale for adults, but some of us adults like to leave that stuff out of our fairy tales.
True. Preach.
Well, but it wasn't even it was weird. It felt almost out of place. Like it wasn't, because again, there was no development of the characters. There was no development of the relationship. So it did. It almost felt just kind of like, oh, and now that's happening. And nope, now it's over. I was like,
oh, okay.
Sure. Like, I guess we all know how babies are made. Like, we get it. Like,
I was like, you don't need to happen
for the baby to come. Like, I get it. It's fine.
Like, the movie, like, was very tactful. It was like, oh, yes. And then they go into the carriage and then, oh, look, a baby.
You can fill
in the gaps. Yes.
Or like, oh, yay, Tristan and Yvain are in love and they're kissing. And then it's the next morning. Like,
yes, you know.
We know we can connect the dots. Like, yeah. It's fine. So,
yeah. Agreed. Agreed.
Was very tastefully done in the movie. So,
also the fact that I just remembered this, I couldn't help but laugh that the star Yvain says the F word when she falls.
Okay, but I thought that was hilarious. I was like, okay?
What?
It was I get that. That is a very bad word. I get that. That is like, if you were rating curse words, that's
it's generally considered the worst one.
Generally considered one of the worst ones. But I thought that was hilarious because I'm also pretty sure it's really the only like big curse word in the entire book. And it's funny. It's first, it's an ow, followed by a much softer fuh. Like, it's so funny to me.
What the heck?
It was, I get that, like, not everybody likes that kind of language. Like, I personally don't swear. Like, I don't choose to use that language. But I thought that was hilarious. Like, I couldn't. Yeah. It was jarring and kind of, it caught me off guard, but it made me laugh literally out loud. Like, it was, again, not a children's book at all. Not a children's story. Probably a good thing that it was not included in the movie, but it was a scene in the book that made me laugh. Like,
I was like, oh, okay, this is where we're at.
Yeah, it was funny. But also, yeah, just a little much, so... I don't know. Technically, even if it was word for word put into a movie, according to the movie standards, you can put one F word in a PG-13 movie.
Sadly,
once
yes.
you do more than that or more than two or something, that it must be rated R. I don't know. It's weird to me. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah. So, this is an odd one for us.
Age old question. Yeah, I think this will be a first here. Was the book better?
No.
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 I don't think we've ever been in. I think you have said it once.
Uh-huh.
I have never said no to the book being better. This is the first. This is the first time for me. So.
And this is like a strong no, too.
Yeah, it's pretty strong. Like the movie is so clearly it's better. It's not like, oh, they're both good in their own ways. Like, no, I think the movie is just strongly
and
better.
And I when I first went in, I was like, is this like skewed because I saw the movie first? Movie and so first. I have the nostalgia. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, I even like with the faux pas, everyone, I just can't see anyone seeing them both. Maybe someone who's really into like classic fairies and like fae and that kind of stuff. Maybe would be more into the book. But I think as a whole, the book, it's just not as good, which is so odd. This is, I feel, it feels wrong. It feels wrong.
I almost feel like bad about it. Like I need to like apologize to Neil Gaiman where I'm like, I'm sorry. But I really do think the movie's better.
Like I think they improved upon your work. I think you had a good Coraline, solid base.
We've done another Neil Gaiman book. We did Coraline.
That's true.
And in Coraline's case, I did still think the book was better.
Yeah. And I mean, another show that I think would be interesting to do would be his Good Omens.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's one that a lot of people know. So
it's a good show too. So, yeah. But yeah, that's our thoughts. So
yeah,
it looks like we're basically in agreement with most of your thoughts. But if you disagree with us on anything, we'd be interested to hear what you think.
Please let us know.
Next week, we are going to be doing a mini-sode. We are bringing a mini-sode back. Yes. What that mini-sode will be of, we don't know yet. We're
still nailing it down. Go to our socials and it'll let you know.
We'll let you know our plan here going forward for the month of March. But I don't think we have any other announcements, really.
Nope.
So we appreciate you all for listening and tuning in, as always. Check us out on our socials and also leave us a review or rating or whatever it is that you can do on whatever platform you're listening on. It would help us out a lot.
Yeah.
But otherwise, we hope that you have a great week.
And don't forget to read.